The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul. Yes, it does. It settles in your soul, and we're happy that it does. This is Terry Raposa and Wynn Carpenter. How you doing there, buddy?
Doing good. How about you?
Doing good.
Good.
We're here with Travis, and we're broadcasting live from KCNR, downtown Reading, 96.5 FM, where the music sounds better, and 1460 AM. We're also podcasting on KCNR1460.com. where you can listen live. It's podcasted all over the world, and we are archived for years and years and years and years and years and years. Maybe not that many, but some years.
Years.
Also, if you have a question or a comment, the phone number is 530-605-4567, 605-4567. And I'm going to start the program off with a question I had from Frank Rose, who is a local treasure. If you don't know who Frank is,
shame on you.
Shame on you. He's adopted as our treasure.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Wynn and I have decided to adopt him. He doesn't eat much. He eats a lot of eggs. Don't you, Frankie? Frankie eats a lot of eggs. He's laughing in the other room. Anyway, I wanted to clarify something because a lot of people, you know, I'm still getting this same question, and that is when you do a supervisor recall, you have to go by district. And that's different than the governor, where you can be anywhere in the state and be a registered voter and vote for the recall of Governor Newsom, where you could have. I guess that's a done deal. Anyway, the supervisors are different. You have to be in that district, and you have to be registered as a voter at your current address. So I know that there was a lot of displacement with people. People moved from one area to another because of all the fires and all that good stuff we had around here. You know, and just tragic. They've talked about, anyway, when they have talked about, like, the Henderson Open Space, how you need to kind of clean that out a little bit so
right.
That, you know, well, there's a lot of area behind Riviera, up on Riviera in South Reading, up there to the west, and there's a lot of area back there. Another house caught on fire the other night. And there's been two house fires back there. And there is a lot of that. That could just go up like crazy. And I wonder if the city's going to do anything about that. And if you live in that area, you know, there's all those streets up there. I think it's Enchanted Way and Melody Lane and Riviera and all that up there.
But that space back there, is that city or is it county? Because like Henderson is county.
Well, I don't know, my friend. My guess would be
parts of it, I should say.
I would think it would be city just because of where they're located, but maybe not. I don't know. Anyway, if you live there, you might want to get a hold of and find that question out.
Absolutely.
Whether it's county or city, and have them do something about it.
Find out who has jurisdiction over that area. Hello, folks. It always comes back to those magic words, right? Somebody has a responsibility over the area because they drew a line, and that's how it works.
I don't know if we're going to go into this much, but we had an idea, and we did it on our podcast. By the way, you can get to our podcast on Monday. They start at 9:30 now. It's 9:30 for the Jefferson State of Mine, M-I-N-E, podcast. You can listen live, or you can listen later on. Just go to Mountaintop Media. We're going to be on several other forums,
mm-hmm.
from Rumble, et cetera. We're going to be on several other forums. We've got all that iced down. Pretty excited about it. Apple, too, I think.
Yes, sir.
So it's really, we're really excited about that. But you can go to Mountaintop Media, or you can just Google or DuckDuck or whatever engine you use.
Yep.
You can go to Jefferson State of Mine, M-I-N-E. And it'll bring you to our podcasts. They've been a lot of fun. We're going to be doing some things on the Constitution. We have talked about creating an ordinance and a creating a way in which the supervisors are accountable to the public. Janet Chandler, the First Lady of Jefferson, has come up with some ideas on an ordinance. We were thinking that Mark Baird might call in today. We just don't know because we didn't know if he had to fly or not. I'm looking at Travis as I'm saying this.
For fires to
put
out.
Yeah, you know, and well, and hopefully he'll be coming home. But I think he comes home for a day and has to go again. Poor guy. But anyway, you know, if now, Travis, if we had Janet Chandler call in, if she's listening and she does call in, and we have Mark on the other end, is there any way to get those phones a little clearer or some way we can do it with the telephones here? Because when you get two people on the line, it's kind of confusing.
Yeah, that's just how the setup is.
How the setup is, okay. Yeah. Well, we'll do the best we can. So
the answer is no.
Well, we would do the best we can. We'll figure out some sort of thing, like when you're done talking, you say over.
Yeah, something.
Something like that. Because the problem is that the two phone lines, they can't hear each other. Now, also, the other day I called in, and I wanted to get this clarified. I called in to Carl's show, and Jared had me on mute. Okay, so, but sometimes when I call in, I can hear what's going on the program. I asked Jared if I was the only person that, I'll let you get the phone. Go ahead and get the phone, and then I'll finish my...
Okay, but keep going.
Okay, well...
No dead airspace here. We can't afford it.
Janet's on the phone. Do you guys ever talk to her?
Who is it?
Janet.
Of course we do.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Put her on. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And so, anyway, when somebody calls in to a program to talk, Jared's, you know, I went to mute. He says, well, that's just the way it works. Well, how come sometimes I can hear and sometimes I can't?
If you're the only caller, you could always hear.
Well, I was the only caller.
Then I don't know the answer to that question.
He said it's always been like that. Hmm. So I'm just trying to clarify it. So when people call in, and Janet, you're there. Hi, my dear.
I am here, and I am up and awake. Yeah.
You're awesome. How are you doing, hon?
Doing fine.
Good.
And I've put in a lot of thought on what we were talking about last week about the ordinance.
Yes.
And so I've given you some of my ideas, and I think it needs to be discussed and hashed around, and I think it's a great thing that a great way to keep the idea going of responsibility on the Board of Supervisors.
Yes. Now, I have a question about that. Did you get the email I sent you this morning?
Are you kidding me? I haven't even gotten out of bed yet.
Okay, well, I sent you an email this morning because you sent me one, and I agree. I sent you an email. Maybe you can kind of take a gander at that. I don't know if you're close. Are you close?
Okay.
And then because, you know, the only time that we actually can, these guys can take a test for the Constitution of California and the Constitution of the United States. Because here's the thing, folks, I'll explain. One of the things we would want to do on this ordinance is we'd want to have some sort of, we want to have accountability from the supervisors. And we want to have transparency from the supervisors. When they take an oath of office, which they have to take in Article 20, they have to take that oath of office in the California Constitution. And they take it to the Constitution of California, the Constitution of the United States, but they really aren't accountable to it because they do all kinds of things that break that. Now, when they are elected, when they are in office, we would like to have them take a Constitution test. Now, the test, the way I understand it, Janet, the test would be something that the grade doesn't matter. They're already in office, but it is published as public record. So if somebody said, yeah, I took an oath to the California Constitution. I took an oath to the Constitution of the United States, but I got a 17% on the California Constitution and a 22% on the United States Constitution. It could lend you to believe, you could begin to believe that maybe they're not quite as truthful as they should be.
Yeah, I think, well, they have to give us their financial status. Why wouldn't they have to give us their constitutional status?
Well, but
good
and
point.
Again, it's not a matter of a passing score. It's just more transparency,
yes,
showing
exactly
us how tuned in they are to the job that they have accepted.
Exactly. That's exactly correct. Now,
and they've been sworn into.
sworn into. That was the whole point.
Yeah.
You can't do it ahead of time.
Right.
I mean, you can't just say, hey, to become a supervisor, you've got to take a test and pass it for the college. You can't do that. But once they're in, that's when you do it. Now, when you wrote the email to us, you said there were some other things about the ordinance or something that, what are some of the things you think should be in there, and what are some of the things to where we need to go right on this thing?
Well, I did find, as I was researching, a California government code that specifically applies to supervisors and what happens if they refuse or neglect to perform their duties. And if they take an oath to the Constitution and they neglect to follow that oath, then in the California government code, there are penalties.
Like what?
They can forfeit their bond. And in California, apparently, they're supposed to have a bond. And they can also be liable to damages to other people, so they can be sued.
So how much
and
is
that's
this
existing?
How much is this bond we're talking about? Is it like $100 or $10,000? What are we talking about?
I don't know. It doesn't say what the bond is, but they can actually have to pay $500 on their bond for every act in which they violate the law.
Ooh.
So that's something we need to look into.
Okay, well, do you remember where the $500 was going? Does that go into the general fund? Or
it doesn't say.
It doesn't say.
And is that payable to the state or to the county?
It does not say, but it's in the California code, California legislative, California government code. And it's Title 3, Division 2, Part 2, Chapter 1, Article 3. It goes way down deep, but 25042 of that code outlines what happens to supervisors specifically who do not follow the law. And the law says that they have to take an oath, and therefore if they breach that oath, they've violated a law.
Would the oath be open to interpretation? I mean, that's what I think.
Always open to interpretation,
see, that's the,
that's
the thing that's kind of sticky, is that the Constitution may mean one thing to Sam and another thing to
actually, it's
Kirby.
Not sticky, it's slippery.
Yeah.
And it's
yeah.
not sticking yeah, to them, that's right.
Well, you know, in other words, they're, yeah, so, I mean, but I think that can be a get-around-it thing, even for both sides. But that's, if you could send me that code, or just, I've got it written down. I guess I can look it up.
In the email that I sent you.
And is that is that considered malfeasance?
I don't know.
Huh. Okay, well.
But I think it's, there may be more in the government code than we realize.
Yeah.
And there may be some things in there that we can start using.
Oh, I love you. Okay, this is good.
Yeah, that we have not grasped before.
I'm going to read this.
And this fight is far from over.
Yes.
Oh, right.
And you did.
And I think the absolutely phenomenal work that the recall people have done in ensnaring Leonard Mody is going to be an incentive to the people to fight back even harder, because they see that it can be done. And it's going to have a very eye-opening effect on the other supervisors that it can be done.
Well, here you have it actually in C. Janet wrote this proposed ordinance, and I'm going to read it. Whereas California Government Code, Title 3, Division 2, Part 2, Chapter 1, Article 3, 2542, provides that any supervisor who, A, refuses or neglects to perform any duty imposed on him without just cause, or B, willfully violates any law provided for his government as a supervisor, or C, fraudulently or corruptly performs any duty imposed on him, or D, willingly, fraudulently, and corruptly attempts to perform an act as supervisor which is unauthorized by law, in addition to any other penalty prescribed by law, forfeits the county $500 for every act, and be removed from his official bond, and is further liable on his bond to any person injured thereby for all damages sustained. So the first thing that happens is they lose that $500 bond, and then then they're not covered anymore.
$500 on the bond.
On the
bond is probably worth more than $500. But there's also that a person injured by the damages can sue and collect on the bond. The one that particularly interested me was D, willfully, fraudulently, or corruptly attempts to perform an act as supervisor, which is unauthorized by law. Okay, how many acts have our supervisors performed in the last year and a half that is not authorized by law?
Misfeasance, Leonard Modi.
The mandate is not law.
Right.
Well, they've imposed lockdowns and business closures. Those things were not law.
Well, that's a great point. I think that you nailed it right there with that, hon. I really do. I think you've nailed it because, well, not only that, but the misfeasance and, you know, what Modi did in using his position. When he used his position to help Nathan Blaze openly, using his position as supervisor to help him with the temporary restraining order against Carlos Zapata.
Mm-hmm.
Also, as you're saying, you know, the five of them basically that did it before Patrick was, elected, Morgan being that person who he unseated, those particular people that were our supervisors were making us follow mandates, and mandates are not law, as you said. I think
that's
that
right.
This is great. I think that that's a big
one. So they performed acts.
Yes.
That were not authorized by law.
Yes.
And that comes under this code.
Yes. That's amazing stuff. So that sort of covers... It seems as if it's already there. Now, how would you go about a case? How would you go about a case as far as they did this, all the things we've talked about, all the different ways they have broken the law, all the different ways they have you know, this they've done the wrong thing in you know, in this particular code. How do we and who do we go to say, hey, they've done this, this is the proof, investigate this, and oh, by the way, they should be charged?
Yeah, and there it takes a legal mind that's more knowledgeable than mine.
Okay.
But I think the first thing we need to do is keep it simple.
Okay.
And since any ordinance has to be passed by the Board of Supervisors, then we need to keep it very plain and simple and to the point and give them something that they cannot refuse to pass without looking like the rear ends of donkeys.
There you go. The backside of a donkey, okay.
Yeah. Okay. So we want an ordinance that says you could start with just supervisors. It wouldn't even have to be elected officials, just supervisors. All supervisors have to pass a test demonstrating their knowledge of the documents to which they have taken an oath. You know, say no on that one. Well, no, I don't want to have to prove that I know what I took an oath for.
Yeah, that's a good point. And that does show that sort of public opinion. That's something that would go into public opinion that would be a force.
And if you put too much in that ordinance, then they can say, well, I'm really in favor of taking a test, but you've got the other stuff in here that I just can't support.
I agree.
So keep it simple. Keep it to the very basics of what they absolutely cannot refuse to support.
Would that mean you'd want to take out C?
Yeah, I would.
Okay.
That I put in there mostly for information only. But I wouldn't even include all public officials at this point.
Right, I wouldn't either.
So just supervisors only at this point to get started on that?
Yeah, because we do have them on that government code, and it's specifically supervisors.
Right. Okay.
So I think at this point an ordinance requiring supervisors to demonstrate their knowledge of the founding documents.
Hmm.
And that's the Declaration of Independence, the Federal Constitution, and the California Constitution.
You know, if they don't know what the rule book says, how can they
follow the rules?
How they play the game.
Obviously, they aren't following the rules.
There you go.
Because they violated Part D of that code by enforcing mandates.
Yes.
You can't enforce a mandate.
A mandate is just strongly encouraged is what a mandate is. It's not law.
Yeah.
So I wonder.
And they have been acting in unlawful ways because they don't know the difference between a mandate and a law.
Right. Absolutely.
And they've been violating their oaths of office because they've they pr- promised us that they were going to protect our rights to life, liberty, property, and the pursuit of happiness, and they didn't do that.
That's
and
right.
They took an oath, which is a law, so they violated the law by breaching that oath, and they're corrupt and fraudulent in the performance of their duties.
There you go.
So I think we need to approach it in the manner of showing not only them how ignorant they are of their jobs, but the people, showing the people how ignorant these people are of their jobs.
Yeah, I think you're right, and that's great for public opinion. I think you're right.
But that would only come out to the informed voters.
Yeah.
The informed voters would figure that out. They would know that. Then you have everybody else that is not an informed voter, that doesn't know what a super...
You can work as hard as you can to make people informed, and that is our job.
Yeah.
But it comes down to the point where there are some who will never be informed.
That's right.
And we're at the point now where we cannot drag that dead weight along behind us. We have to just drop them off and leave them on the side of the road.
I agree with you. I think you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, you can't make a chicken fly, maybe a little bit, but you can't really make a chicken fly like an eagle. And it's kind of like, I mean, that's just, what's that?
And you can't make the rear end of a donkey smell like a rose.
That's right.
So let's,
and pigs don't know pig steak.
Accept our limitations and move forward.
Yeah, well, I think that maybe we've got a two-part thing here. In other words, if you do an ordinance I was just looking at Travis was showing me we have 3 minutes to the break. The thing is that if we have them do something, they can say, well, gee, Supervisor so-and-so is a real buffoon. But again, we always go back to this thing, how do we make them accountable? And what you put there in Part C has been there the whole time. I just wonder what the legal mechanism is to make sure. Let me just finish my sentence.
Yeah,
let me land the plane.
You noticed in my proposed ordinance, which is very rough.
Okay.
I said that it would be referred to the appropriate agency.
Right.
I didn't even know what agency that was.
Right, 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 right. That's my point. That's why I wanted to land the plane there, because I think that it's all about the situation of who. Who is it that enforces this? We have all this stuff that happens, but we're having a hell of a time trying to figure out what agency or what part of the government enforces it. I mean, I would think you take something like this to the DA, but they may not say,
talk about corrupt and fraudulent.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Ultimately, our goal is to be represented by our Board of Supervisors. And if we can encourage and force our supervisors to actually do the right thing,
right.
I don't care if Mary and Joe stay on the board. If they're going to become educated and understand their jobs and then perform their jobs well, I'll accept them on that board. I mean, the other person I don't think is capable of being educated and doing a good job.
Right. Well, you know.
So, Modi needs to go.
Right. Okay. And can you hear us okay? Because are you able?
I can.
Can you? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway.
Am I not coming through well?
You're fine.
You're
just fine.
It's just sometimes we're talking at the same time, and I don't want to do that.
Yeah, well, maybe it's your hearing.
Okay.
maybe it's my hearing.
It's your hearing and not Janet.
Probably is my hearing. So anyway, the thing I think that we want to talk about after the break, and maybe just a little thought on this, is how do we hold them accountable? That's been the whole issue. We know that we can make them look foolish. We know we can get more public opinion against them. But how do we hold them accountable outside of a recall? You know, and how do we make them, how do we do it to where something like this, where it starts to hurt them financially and hurts them politically and then may hurt them legally and criminally? And those are the things I think that's the kind of research that we need to have. But you've already done it. I mean, that's the crazy thing about this. And we'll talk about this after the break. I want you to think about this, love, and then give us your thoughts after the break. And that is that, we already have a mechanism here. We already have a consequence.
How do you put it into play?
How do you hike the ball?
Who actually goes down with the handcuffs?
That's right,
ma'am. Okay, so
metaphorically speaking.
Yes,
exactly.
Yes, exactly. Okay,
whose responsibility is it to say to the supervisors, you have violated your oath, and you have come under Section 2542, and
right.
Now we're going to do something to you.
Well, to me, that would be the sheriff.
One thing you can do is that any person injured thereby and has damages can civilly file against that bond. And we've got to find out, do these people actually have a bond?
Right.
Okay, so we have to go off for our break.
We got more to discuss here.
Oh, yeah. And so you're listening to
KCNR 1460.
Jefferson State of Mind with Janet Chandler. And she is helping us. Helping the First Lady of Jefferson. And she is helping us with this battle on how we keep these guys accountable and gals accountable. Well, my friend, it's time for our break. Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
Extended now through the end of the year. Don't miss this chance to save big during this key season for planting perennials. The nursery's open Wednesday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Have you been putting off getting your colonoscopy due to COVID restrictions? Well, there's no better time than now. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, colorectal cancer screenings have declined by 86%. And as a result, up to 10,000 more deaths are projected over the next decade. With early detection, colon cancer has a 90% survival rate, and it may even be preventable with a colonoscopy. At Reading Endoscopy Center, our number one priority is the health and safety of our patients, and our center has always been committed to maintaining strict infection control and prevention protocols. Schedule your colonoscopy today by calling us at 530-246-7000 or visiting readingendoscopy.com. Visit readingendoscopy.com.
Seco Manufacturing Company presents How People Make Things at Turtle Bay now through January 9th. Explore this new and interactive exhibit where kids can learn firsthand about the tools and processes used to make objects that we see and use every day. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Psalm 23, when I'm scared to death, a sleeping pill when my mind won't rest, a little baby king when the thrill is gone. These are the things that I lean on. God's grace when I'm walking on a dangerous path, 12 steps when I need to find my way back, my mama's voice on the telephone. These are the things that I need.
Winona.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Okay, Janet, you're still there with us? Hello, Janet. Did we lose Janet? Maybe she's got us on mute or something.
Hello, Janet.
I was on mute. My apologies. I'm back. I heard you.
We know how the game is played. Well, okay, let's...
We forget what we've done.
I know, you push a button, it's like, which button did I push?
All right. You couldn't hear me yelling at my husband.
Oh, we can hear you yelling at Harold. We know that. All right, so we're back at it. So let's finish some of these thoughts. So were you able to come up with what Terry discussed with you right before we went to break?
That was a long time ago. What was he discussing?
Okay, Terry, rerun it real quick.
Okay, anyway.
So we're looking at the authority for bringing charges, right?
Right. Who would be the one?
I don't know, other than in this section where it says that the supervisor would forfeit to the county. So obviously then that would have to be done through the county's enforcement agencies, which would be law enforcement and the district attorney.
So that would be Sheriff's Department and the DA?
I would think so.
Okay. Well, there you
Since
go.
They would have to pay a fine to the county.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And I'm not sure of the mechanism by which it would happen if people would have to bring their complaints. And that's why Terry's idea of a civilian board is interesting. Because just as we have done in the Jefferson Constitution, having a civilian board which would receive these charges and these allegations, we could do something at the county level, but then that gets really sticky if you're proposing an ordinance. And I think it would take more work and fine-tuning. I would love to see just an ordinance to begin with telling the Board of Supervisors they need to demonstrate ability.
Could you open-end it? Could you take the ordinance and maybe open-end it?
It can always be added to. It can always be changed.
Yeah.
I was looking at a couple of ordinances that I looked up just for examples, and they get changed and revised, and I think that we could do that.
Okay, or maybe...
I would love to just get started with something simple.
Yes, I agree, and I think that's...
And that's the thing, we have to keep it
simple. And then when we get Leonard Modi off the board and replace him with someone who is actually a representative of the people, and then when we either replace Rickert and Chimenti or we make them understand how they must behave on that board, then we can bring in some other actions on ordinances like that citizens board.
We have got Baron Browning who wants to run in Baugh's seat. The only challenge I have with Baron is that he's supported by Marion Modi and Chimenti. I mean, he's like...
Oh, well, that's quite an endorsement.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing that's crazy. When you get 6,000 people plus that want to recall a supervisor, and you have that documented, and that's where we're at now, is I think it's 6,030 signatures, and we needed, what, 4,300, when?
43 to 45, somewhere in there, yeah.
Yeah, so we have a bit of a buffer. Who knows what Kathy Darling's going to do, but we have a bit of a buffer. And when you have something like that, I mean, really and truly, and this is a guy who's standing behind you and you're running for District 5, when we had the other day, Baron Browning was on Free Fire Radio and he was the co-host with Trish Clark. It was Thursday. It was Friday. And the thing that was interesting about that is that, when stuff was brought up about the supervisors, things were brought up. Doug LaMalfa was on. He brought some good things up. And there was a good discussion, good call-ins. He was pretty moot on the point. It was sort of like, I don't know. You know what I mean, Janet? It gets hard to trust these people when they have friends like that.
I am so tired of listening to platitudes. They never say anything. They just say the right things.
Right.
You know, I'm for apple pie, baseball, and motherhood. Raw, raw, let's elect him. Unless they get down into the nitty-gritty of what's going on and take a stand, I'm not interested in voting for them.
There you go.
And that's what I hear too often. They waffle. And it's been a long time since I heard a candidate who actually took a stand.
Well, we're going to hope that someone like Chris Kellstrom does. And, you know, I think that...
I've heard Chris take a stand.
He does. And the thing I like about Chris Kellstrom is Chris Kellstrom is... he's the kind of guy you could sit down with and have a talk with. He's the kind of guy that you could hang out with. He doesn't consider himself above it all or an elitist, and I think a lot of these other
people...
And
the one person who is above it all is Chris Kellstrom.
Yes, he is.
In height.
By about a foot. I'm getting really tired talking to his belly button.
I know. And you're taller than I am. Imagine how I feel.
Don't go there.
Oh, boy. Yes, I know, Janet. You stop thinking that stuff, girl.
Okay.
So, it's the kind of thing where, you know, you really kind of scratch your head and you go, gosh, you know, who do we want here? And the thing about Chris is that he's a very smart guy. He's a really smart guy.
Mm-hmm.
And we need somebody who we can begin to trust. Janet, we have Rich on the other line. Rich, what say you, sir?
Good morning, Rich.
Are you there, Rich?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Right, kind of. Are you in a cave with a light bulb? What?
Yeah, I'm on a regular phone. Should be better.
There you go.
Hey, so here's what you ask the politician when they're running, especially Barron Browning, who just perpetuates the system. What have you done, Barron, in all of your public service that increases individual liberty, freedom, or put money back in individuals' pockets? Crickets, right? You're going to hear crickets on that one. Hey, I have an update. Columbia School, you saw on the news the other day, they had a registered sex offender. I'm sorry, he was not registered in violation of the law. Volunteering at Columbia School. Wow.
Ouch.
Ooh, yeah. So actually KRCR did a story, I think it was Thursday evening, and they quoted, they had one of the parents, Joshua, on at that story. But of course they did not report everything Joshua told them. So it appears, and tomorrow evening, here's the key. Tomorrow night, 5 p.m. at the Columbia District Office, 675 Shasta View, 5 p.m., they are going to hold an in-person special board meeting to discuss the pedophile who, for 2 years, has been volunteering around the kids. Now, I hope everybody shows up and really hits these people between the eyes because, of course, I found the laws that the school districts violated. The protections are already in place for all volunteers to be checked against the sex offender registry. And the school failed to do that. It's already in the law. So I really hope people show up tomorrow evening at 5 p.m. and really hit these people hard. Because this probably, unfortunately, is happening in some of the other 27 districts in our county. So we need to hit these people hard so that the rest of these districts say, uh-oh, we better check everybody. What do you got?
Wow.
Oh, I have a question on that, Rich.
Yeah.
Okay, so people show up. There should be, I mean, definitely should be some sort of, again, we keep talking about accountability. It seems like that's all we've been doing is talking about accountability and what are the consequences of not upholding your position as an elected official. Is there... those people who are the people who would be directly scrutinizing something like that? Who would that be?
So Education Code 35020, I believe, is it that holds the school board overall accountable and responsible for all activities occurring on the district properties. And then the very next code, I believe it's Education 35021. I posted it, by the way, on Inform Parents of Shasta County. That information is there. Actually says all volunteers shall be checked against the sex offender registry. Now, the responsibility, again, goes to the board overall. However, they obviously are delegating that responsibility to check the sex offender status to likely the principal vice principal, superintendent, one of those three are likely delegated. So they are all, whoever that person is, and I hope tomorrow evening at this meeting, if I can't be there, somebody is going to ask that question. Who individually has the authority, the ultimate responsibility at the school level, not the board level, to make sure that these people are checked?
Yeah, but they can't, sorry about that, but they can't throw an hourly waged employee under the bus saying that they're have the total responsibility. It goes higher up into management.
Yeah, it has to be
and so forth, and into elected positions, correct?
Yeah.
No, I get that. I already told you the board
has
responsibility, but they can delegate.
Right.
They can delegate it. So whoever is delegated, they're also, it doesn't matter. Everybody that has a piece of that pie to check the registry status, they've all violated the state law, okay? You can't just say, I'm sorry, the board told me to do this or they told me not to do it. No. Each person is obligated to follow the law, okay? So they're all, anybody in that chain who's supposed to make sure or responsibility, it doesn't matter. There's several people to be held to account in this matter.
Did something trigger this?
Yes. Well, yes, it did. And I hope to be there tomorrow, probably a little late, to talk to Joshua. So likely, now this is not confirmed, but it sounds like this sex offender is dating a teacher. No, excuse me. This sex offender is living with a teacher in that school for over 2 years. There's some people that have done some background, and the sex offender and her teacher both have the same address.
Okay.
So we will find this out tomorrow night at the school board meeting, and it's possible that the teacher was used as a reference for this gentleman, excuse me, I shouldn't say gentleman, for this guy to come in and volunteer, and they probably said, he knows so-and-so teacher, so, let's just go ahead and bypass the check. That is probably what happened, and we're going to find out tomorrow night, absolutely.
That's great stuff, Rich. Now, the other question I have for you real quick, and that is that what are the legal consequences, what are they?
I had some really bad background. All I heard was consequences,
What are the legal consequences for the people who made that decision and the person who didn't do their job? The person who didn't do their job could get fired. I mean, that would be one thing. But,
recall the board, run against the
then
board.
Then you're spending money. I mean, they should be out on their ear, like, right away.
Yeah, this is what I believe is called an administrative law.
Okay.
So it's not a misdemeanor or a felony. It's not a penal code. It is an education code. Mm-hmm. So it's likely just administrative in nature. And there are administrative courts in California, unfortunately, because they shouldn't be there in the first place. But you could likely file. It's probably just going to be a lawsuit kind of a situation with the civil damages. That's probably the only thing we can do. That could penalize somebody.
Okay, that'd be great. Thank you, Rich. That was great information.
Great information.
That was great information.
All right.
Hopefully you can. And hopefully you can. And what time was that meeting? One more time.
Tomorrow night, 5 p.m. Columbia District office. It's an in-person meeting. 675 Shastaview Drive.
Maybe you could call in tomorrow morning and announce that on the. On Carl Bott's show on Free Fire Radio. You should probably call in and announce that. I mean,
okay, yeah, I'll do that. Thank you, guys.
All right, thank you. Janet, very interesting, being a former teacher. What do you think?
Well, of course, it's outrageous. And, again, who slipped up? Who didn't do his job? Somebody wasn't behind the controls of that plane.
Right.
Because it should never have been allowed to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. It's flabbergasting because you start looking at all this egregious stuff. I mean, going back to what you were talking about, I mean, the Board of Supervisors broke the law. They broke the law. They broke it when they enforced mandates that were not
law.
And it just blows my mind. I'm so sick of this. You know, and this whole thing, like with the district attorney, I mean, that's another thing. I mean, that just blows my mind. You know, there's,
the corruption is so
vast. The corruption
is
crazy. It's crazy.
That it's almost staggering to consider fighting against it.
Yes, ma'am. Hey, we have Nick.
And I think the first thing we need to do is to force our supervisors to understand that their primary purpose in sitting there in their lavish building is not to protect us. It is to protect our rights.
Yes, and Janet, we have Nick.
It's not to keep us safe. Sorry, Mary, you're wrong. It is to protect our rights. We will keep ourselves safe if we just have our rights protected.
Janet, we have Nick on the line. So we're going to bring, okay, hey, Nick, what say you, sir?
Am I on?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, good. Hey, I wanted to talk about Baron Browning. I'm not in favor of him. I would vote against him. Chris would be a wonderful supervisor, in my opinion. Baron's going to run on the idea, well, they gave us a half-cent sales tax, and look what we did with it. We've cleaned up Anderson and all that crap. You know, I hope Chris is building up a pretty good defense against that.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be. I'm sure that's true. That the main thing is do you want more of the same? And you know, I like Baron. I've talked to him before. I know they have done some things in Anderson. They've certainly been a lot more lenient with businesses going in there. You know, and so there have been some things. The point is that, you know, what are some of the things? I mean, this is the one thing we should be asking all those people that run. What do you hope to accomplish for the people?
Well, I hope Chris will say build a jail and to hell with the rehabbing them.
Well, you know, I think Chris would say that.
Here's something else I wanted to run by you real quick, and I'll get off.
Okay.
I listened to Rich, and he talked about that sex offender and referred him to him as a pedophile. I have on the back of my pickup, dead pedophiles don't reoffend, and I honestly believe that. But, you know, when they register a sex offender, it could well be somebody that was 18 having sex with a 17-year-old girlfriend and mom got mad. Or somebody that was urinating in public, maybe just standing around the tree and a cop happened to see him. Sometimes these sex offenders aren't the worst person that ever lived. It's the pedophiles we want to be after.
Well, that's a great point, Nick, and thank you for that. That is a really, really good point.
Okay,
thinking outside the box like normal, Nick. Thank you for that. Janet, we still got some time here. Back to you, my dear. I think that the idea of the ordinance is great, but again, we go back to I wanted to bring this up because I think you might be aware of this. I believe that our illustrious DA is now wanting to or is in the process of filing criminal charges against PG&E.
30 counts or something?
30, yeah, something like that. And, you know, I called in the other day when she was on the radio, and she was a guest, and I said, how exactly, you know, are you going to be able to pay for this? I mean, who pays for this? I mean, you're doing that. You have all this other stuff. I mean, she did want to talk, of course, about the Carlos Zapata thing. Oh, by the way, the county's probably going to spend somewhere upwards above a half a million dollars on the one thing they have found out is that water flew through the air. I mean, you know.
I know. That was just disastrous.
God.
Yeah.
And so it's the kind of thing where, you know, you look at Stephanie Bridget, and I asked her, I said, well, where's the money going to come from and, you know, all that stuff. I said, you know, is there a grant or something? And she doesn't even have an investigator or somebody on this case yet. Yet she goes on Fox News and says it. You kind of wonder if some of this stuff is a diversion. And really and truly, she doesn't have the money to do it. The answer I got, the way I understood it, is the money's going to come out of the county. Okay, well, I get that. Okay, that's fine and dandy. But you don't even have enough prosecutors to go out there. They've got two working on Carlos Zapata's case, two of them. I mean, at what point do we finally stop and look, Janet, and say, God, enough is enough. How can people not see through this crap?
Well, I'm there. We've all been there for a long time. Enough is enough. We know it's corrupt. We know she would rather send investigators to Alyssa McEwen's house to investigate Carlos Zapata's incident or whatever else going on. And this business with PG&E, Okay, fine. I don't know. Did their wires fall down? But who's ultimately going to pay if PG&E loses? I am. I'm the rate payer. PG&E doesn't have a stash of money other than what I send them.
Yeah, that's a really good
point. I'm stepping on my own toe, and I'm the ultimate loser. So PG&E loses, I lose.
Well, let's say
there has to be a better way.
Well, let's say that let's just say it's justified. Where are you going to get the money to pay for it? Well, we're looking for a grant.
At the county level, I pay for the lawsuit.
Right.
At the PG&E level, I pay for the lawsuit. I'm the only one with money, and that's the way it always is with government and corporations.
But she...
We just have had this debacle with Jen Psaki, who just can't understand why corporations and companies would increase their fees to their customers if their taxes go up. But these people are nitwits when it comes to economics.
Well,
there is no money other than my money your money.
Right, but the point is that she doesn't have anybody on the case yet. Yet she's going forward with it, and she can't afford the money to put somebody on the case, and she doesn't even have a body to put on it. Maybe she ought to take one of the bodies off the Carlos Zapata case.
Who is her boss, who provides her with her funding, and that's the Board of Supervisors.
That's right.
So where are they? Why aren't they questioning Stephanie Bridget and saying, yeah, it sounds like a great idea to sue PG&E, but where are you going to get the money? Where is it going to come from? How is this going to affect the taxpayers of Shasta County?
Well, that goes back to the Board of Supervisors that don't go through and do the line item by line item on the budget. Remember that.
There you go.
They
Nobody's
allow staff
in charge.
To do it. They allow staff to create the budget, and then they just do a pencil whip on it. We were told that by a current board member and former board member. Former board member said that they used to sit down, and for days they would painstakingly go through line item by line item. They would question certain things. They'd line out certain things. They would do whatever they needed to, as you should with a budget. You go through and you take the time, and it's exhausting, but you take the time, you go through the process, and you have your head wrapped around what you have. The current board, the way it sits right now, with the exception of one, doesn't even have that, and that's why they're not even asking her asking the DA about, well, where's the money going to come from? Because everybody just operates, oh, well, there's just a general fund. Well, no, that's not how it works. Each department has to have their own budget, and if she actually has more money in her budget than she's declaring, then maybe that's the case. If she's not worried about the financial part of it, maybe that's the case. Who knows? Those are the kind of questions that need to be asked by the Board of Supervisors and by the constituents of the entire county. Where's the money coming from?
And
when we have a board member, Mary Rickert, who has said publicly, my hobby is being on boards.
Right.
Is her commitment really there to sit down for days and days and go line item through a budget? Or is it to say, yeah, that's good, now I'll get on to my next board meeting because boards are my hobby? I want someone who's doing this not as a hobby, but as an employment commitment.
Right.
And we don't have that.
That's right.
They want someone else to tell them what to do. They want the state to tell them what mandates to follow. They want bureaucrats to tell them what budgets they should sign off on. I am not impressed with our representation.
Well, here's something else, too, you know, and that's why you kind of look at the media. When Stephanie Bridget was on Free Fire Radio, I mean, the hard questions, you know, aren't asked. They're just not asked. That question wasn't asked. I called in and asked that question, and she answered it, but I got cut off. Wait a second, we have to go, Terry, that kind of stuff. And frankly, that gets to be a little old only because of the fact that if somebody was really interviewing this person, they could politely ask the real questions rather than worried about whether they come back on your program or not. I know that a program like ours, Pete Peters, all these different programs. Stephanie Bridget isn't going to go on those programs. The sheriff might.
Well, consider this, Terry. The last time candidates received hard questions was when we had town halls at the Patriots meeting.
That's true.
That's right.
And then we were accused of being mean.
Yes. Well, that was by the senator.
Actually.
We asked hard questions and we demanded
answers.
Specific answers.
Right.
And those candidates don't want that.
No.
They want to spout platitudes and be praised for their wonderful civic offerings.
We have 1 minute, Janet.
Nope, we're down. We're down. Our music is going to cut us off.
Oh, music's going to cut us off.
Okay. Yep.
Our clock is wrong in here. Okay, hon, I'll talk to you later.
Thank you, Janet.
Okay,
thank you, Janet.
Thank you, thank you.
You're welcome.
That was the First Lady of Jefferson, Janet Chandler. Listen tomorrow, 9:30, Mountaintop Media. You can listen live or listen to the archive. And time has come
for 51.
Listen.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.